and just really protect that house as if it's your own, because those kind of claims can get very nasty.
Welcome to Push In, the Cinevic podcast. I'm your host, Joyce Klein, coming to you from the unceded territory of the Lekwungen-speaking peoples, otherwise known as beautiful Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. It's grant writing season, and that means you might be struggling to put together a realistic budget to pitch. Today, Push In departs from our usual format in response to a listener's request for help with a budget line item every filmmaker needs to understand: insurance. Luckily, Front Row Insurance Brokers Vice President Mike Groner is joining me today to explain what filmmakers need to know about film production and errors and omissions insurance. Front Row serves the film, entertainment, music, theater, and photography industries from offices in LA and across Canada. Since starting his insurance career 20 years ago in LA, Mike has worked with the Hollywood elite, providing insurance and risk management for feature films, TV distributors, film festivals, and entertainment-related enterprises like musicians, equipment, operations, and rental houses. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Push In.
Glad to be here.
Scene one.
I have a very specific question from a filmmaker who's applying to Telefilm Canada's Talent to Watch program. Given a feature-length drama with a budget between $250,000 and $300,000 to be shot in Victoria in 2024, how much should I budget for E&O insurance and any other insurance coverages I need?
I would certainly put $3,000 in the budget for errors and omissions. And then I would put around $2,500 to $3,000 for the general liability and a full production package, which Telefilm does require.
Scene two.
Let's talk production insurance versus errors and omissions insurance. What's a quickie description of what they are and how they differ?
So production insurance, I would break down into three different parts. The first being the liability. That's your commercial general liability, or also known as public liability. And that's the bodily injury or property damage to the public. No equipment vendor is going to let you out the door without liability insurance. You're not going to get a film permit without liability insurance. And a financier is not going to give you your drawdown without liability insurance, because no one wants to be sued on your behalf. The second part and most common part is the property section. And that's going to insure, you know, your prop set wardrobe, production equipment, cameras, lighting, grip, as well as damage to vehicles being rented by the production, whether on camera or behind camera, grip trucks, your mobile studio units, your trailers, etc. So that's all the physical damage to those types of property. The third section is sort of the unknown part to most people who are out to buy film insurance, and that's what we refer to as first party coverage or extra expense coverage. The big one there, and the one that we tend to see the largest claims on, is what's called cast insurance. And cast insurance insures your key cast members or your director if they get sick, injured, or die. And it doesn't cover workers' compensation, and it doesn't protect the artists themselves. What it's doing is it's protecting the production company for expenses that the production company would incur if they had to do a reshoot or shut down production to wait for that artist or director to get better, or in severe cases where maybe someone dies or they're not going to get better quick enough for the production to get done, it would cover the cost to go back and reshoot with a new artist. You know, some of the big examples of that would be Heath Ledger on The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, or, you know, the biggest one we all have heard of recently was the Paul Walker dying during one of the episodes of the Fast and Furious films. And that's actually the largest cast claim in history, upwards of $50 million.
Wow. Errors and omissions insurance, what's that?
Errors and omissions insurance covers the content of the film itself. So using someone's likeness without their permission, stealing someone's story, using characters, if it's an animation that someone feels they designed and you took their image, basically anything that someone would claim you took or used without permission. Or if you slander them or they feel that you've tarnished their image, they may sue.
As a production designer, I deal with that slippery world of clearance all the time. So can you explain how the connection works between clearance and errors and omissions?
Well, the entire process of obtaining a quotation from an insurance company for errors and omissions has to do with the legal clearance that was done throughout the film process. They're going to look to see that the production obtained what's called a script clearance report, where an attorney has reviewed to make sure all of the names don't exist in real life, or if they do, that you've obtained the necessary rights to use their name or their likeness in the film, or if it falls under what's considered to be fair use. You know, you mentioned being a designer, an attorney is going to want to make sure that, you know, the clothing doesn't show logos that you haven't obtained the necessary clearance on, nothing distinctive from buildings, vehicles, things like that.
Is there anything that you think is important for filmmakers to keep in mind?
Certainly when you're looking to purchase insurance for equipment, make sure you're insuring the total value of all the equipment from all the various rental houses in the aggregate. If you're just trying to satisfy the requirements of one vendor who you're only renting $10,000 from, but then you're renting $10,000 from this vendor, $10,000 from this vendor, make sure you're insuring the total value, because all of that can be stolen or damaged at once. And if your limit is only trying to satisfy one vendor, then you're not going to have enough insurance to cover all three. The other probably most important thing a filmmaker can do is to properly document the film locations before any cast or crew come into that location. So if you're filming at a studio or if you're filming in someone's home, you know, walk around with your camera phone, take a picture of every single corner, every inch of the beautiful wood floors. The worst claims we tend to see are when a homeowner comes back to a filmmaker and says, here's a list of everything we think you damaged while you're in our house for 2 hours. And whether those claims are bogus or not, they have to put in the claim. And then the insurance company is going to look and say, well, how do we know these floors weren't already damaged? Without the filmmaker documenting the location beforehand, there's no way to prove they're not at fault. Another thing about that, you know, insurance always pays based on an occurrence. So if you're filming in someone's home and you leave cut marks on their kitchen table, and then you damage one of the bedroom doors and you broke their toilet, none of those occurrences are related. So the insurance company is going to look at that as if you had three separate claims occur. That means you're going to have three separate deductibles.
Yikes.
And so that's why it's important to really document the house and really make sure that your cast and crew are being respectful of the location. You know, no one gets to go take a nap in the kids' room. You know, those rooms need to be shut and are off limits, and just really protect that house as if it's your own, because those kind of claims can get very nasty.
Scene three.
What about volunteers?
Mm-hmm.
Usually there are volunteers.
Yeah, so that's a sticky one in BC, because WorkSafe BC does not cover volunteers. You know, they still would be covered by the provincial healthcare system in most cases. And then the only real coverage that we as a broker can provide would be what's called accidental death and dismemberment coverage. And it sounds exactly like what it is. It's really for just larger catastrophic accident and injury. And the reason being is that all healthcare is monopolistic here. So we can't sell you or sell a production anything that really mimics workers' compensation outside of WorkSafe. So we usually tell production companies to try to avoid hiring volunteers or having interns, but obviously it's par for the industry.
Tail slate.
Thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time to share your expertise. That was incredibly helpful.
Glad to do it.
And that's a wrap. You can find links to Mike and Front Row Insurance Brokers in the show notes. And you can help promote the talented filmmakers we feature by liking, subscribing, or 5-star rating us so others can find their interviews more easily. That's it for now. Join me, your host, Joyce Klein, for the next episode of Push In, the Cinevic Podcast.